And let's read about what this good news looked like as it entered into the world, starting in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, we ask your Holy Spirit to rest on this place. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds are open to what your Spirit wants to do in our life. And Lord, we pray that as your Spirit works, it continues to transform us more into your likeness. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So this week in our text, we come in contact, we meet Joseph, the father of Jesus. Now, when we think about the Christmas narrative, when we think about the Christmas story, when we think about Jesus being born, Joseph as a character stands on the margins of the story. Joseph is actually a supporting actor when you think about it. The main character title goes to God, goes to the Holy Spirit, Jesus and Mary. And Joseph is kind of one of those actors who would get maybe a supporting actor nod, but probably, if we read the story, would be just an actor who gets a name on the credits as it rolls up at the end of the movie. I mean, when we think about who Joseph is, we're reminded in verse 16, just a couple verses earlier, we're reminded of what Matthew says in this, as he says in verse 16, "Jacob and the Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah." It's kind of a weird explanation for who Joseph is, because we are reminded as we read it, as well as the Methinian community, and they were reading this for the first time, that Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. He was the earthly father of Jesus, but that's different than the biological father. Jesus was not what Joseph expected to happen when he was engaged to Mary. I mean, the last thing Joseph expected was for his soon-to-be wife to be pregnant. Joseph came to the same conclusion as you and I would have probably in the situation. He reacted probably the same way you and I would have reacted to the situation. Everything Joseph had thought about marriage, everything Joseph thought about what it would look like to be married to Mary, was not lining up the way it was supposed to line up. Things were actually unraveling pretty quickly when he first saw Mary and Mary was pregnant. There's a lot of explaining to do in that moment. And so Joseph, as the writer tells us in verse 19, Joseph decided to divorce Mary. Because when you think about it, you stand in Joseph's shoes, that's the only choice he had. The only choice he had was to divorce Mary. The law, the customs, the traditions of his faith and his people dictated that a divorce must happen. And as one writer reminds us, he says this, there was no forgive and forget when it was concerned with the law. Joseph's one choice was to divorce Mary. Now, Joseph, as the text tells us, being a righteous man, would do it in secret. He would do it as discreetly as possible trying to mitigate any of the public shaming of Mary. But let's be honest, she's going to have enough issues as is. She's pregnant. You can't really hide that for too long. And gossip is like it is today. It starts quick, and it moves through a neighborhood very quickly. So Joseph, being the righteous man, was doing everything that he could to mitigate the circumstances. But here's the thing about the text, and as we're reminded about this Christmas story, as we're reminded about this story in general, is it's not like any story we've read before. Joseph should divorce Mary. That's what his customs tell him. But before he could divorce her, he decided to go to sleep. And if we've ever read the text, if you've ever read any of the Old Testament and New Testament, you notice that if somebody goes to sleep, anything can happen. When someone goes to sleep, anything can happen. And so Joseph goes to sleep, and as verse 20 tells us, Joseph goes to sleep and he is resolved to do this. He goes to sleep knowing what he has to do, knowing what he must do. Now, you can imagine Joseph's sleep might have been a little difficult to get to. Anybody in here ever had something on your mind? And it's just hard to get that thing off your mind. It takes a little while to go to sleep. Joseph probably had a little bit of difficulty going to sleep, but as the writer tells us, he gets to a point where he is steadfast in the decision that he will make, that this is what needs to happen. It is concrete, and it is ready to be made. And by the way, we kind of know this. When we get resolved to make a decision, there is comfort in that because we are somewhat in control of the decision. We've done it, and this is what we're going to do. We're ready to do it. We're in control of the situation at this point, a situation in which Joseph has felt completely not in control of at all. He can now have some form of control, because he's the one who gets to make the decision about separating with Mary. But it's in this moment. It's in the moment that Joseph goes to sleep, when Joseph thinks that he's in control, when Joseph will do the expected thing of him, when God's messenger shows up. When God shows up in the one time in which Joseph is not in control, when Joseph is asleep, the angel comes to Joseph, and the angel begins to talk to Joseph. And whatever expectation Joseph had about his marriage to Mary, or what it would look like after his divorce, the angel shows up and says, God's got a different way this is going to look. God actually has a different expectation for you, Joseph. And that's the thing about God. That's the thing about this story, is if we really notice it, God always does the most unexpected things. God always breaks in the controllable moments that we think we've got figured out. I can do this. I know I must divorce her. It's what my family wants me to do. It's what my community wants me to do. It's what my tradition wants me to do. It's exactly what I'm supposed to do. And it's in those moments where God has this tendency of saying, but don't forget about me. Because here's the thing about God. God's not confined by our rules. God is not confined by our ways. And so the angel shows up in verse 20 and 21, and the angel says, I know, Joseph, this is not what you expected, and I know that this may not even be what you wanted. But know this, God is in the middle of it. God is in the middle of all of this. And Joseph, when Joseph went to bed, he was expecting that he would divorce Mary. But what Joseph didn't know is that when he would wake up, he would be resolved. But it would be resolved to what? To stay married. To marry. And that's the thing about God. God does what we don't expect. God does not normally work the way that we expect God to work. Have you ever noticed that? We began the first of this year with a quote from Anne Lamott. And that quote said this. It said, if God likes everyone that you like and believes all the stuff that you believe, then you may not be believing in God. You may be believing in your idea of God. If God seems to have all of your thoughts and likes all the same people you like and does all the things that you think God should do, Then Anne Lamott says, maybe you haven't quite read the story of God just yet. Because God has had this tendency every time that people have thought this is what God should do, God shows up and does something completely different. And God calls a good and righteous man to go beyond what was the right thing to do by the religious and human standards. God called Joseph to take a risk. Think about what risk Joseph had to take. He had to risk bearing the ridicule and shame of the community and to stay with his fiancée. He had to risk the ridicule and shame to be the father of the one who would save all the people, but that the people would struggle to realize. But God calls Joseph, I need you to risk being shamed. I need you to risk being ridiculed. He risked the ridicule and shame so that the neighborhood around him and the world around him could witness to what God is bringing into the world. All of this is being thrust upon this guy who was going to marry a girl named Mary and thought that his life was going to be like anybody else's marriage. And he looks up and God says, I know you expected it, but I work in the most unexpected of ways. And this is what God has a tendency to do. God has a tendency of working outside of our expectations, outside of our boundaries, and outside of our social norms. God is telling Joseph to trust God in this moment, that this chaos that he feels like is happening around him, that there's something big being stirred up in it. There's something big about to happen. And what was spoken in Isaiah 7:14, as we're reminded, as Matthew tells us, in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And as Isaiah was saying this, we're reminded that the people were going through their own chaos at the time, that they were going through exile, that they were going through a loss of a nation, that they were going through a loss of identity. But what we're reminded of with this quote in Isaiah, and then later on as Matthew quotes it as well, is that God is not allergic to the chaos going on, that God is actually working inside of it, that God is actually present, that God is actually working and planning and preparing the people for something new. And many of us probably feel like Joseph is right now. Many of us are probably dealing, maybe not with the same situation of Joseph, but we understand Joseph's life. Because our life, like Joseph's life, may not be turning out the way that we had planned. It may not look the way that we thought it was going to look 20 years ago. We thought by now we would have been doing this or we'd have that certain job title. We thought by now that we would have our bank, or that our bank accounts would look a little bit different than what they look now. We thought that maybe even our families might look a little different than they do now. And as I say all this, and I'm a member of all this, I realize that a lot of us in here have a vision of what we thought life would look like, and it may not look the exact same way it looks now. We might have thought this is what we would do, but we're not doing what we thought we would be doing. And we look around and sometimes begin to wonder. We begin to wonder how all of this makes sense. We begin to wonder what's going on here, that life isn't as perfect as we thought it would be, that chaos enters into our life. And the beauty of the Joseph story, the beauty of Christmas is this. We're reminded that God shows up in the middle of the chaos. We're reminded that God shows up in the middle of what we expect to be, and that God is still working, that God is still reconciling, that God is still redeeming, and that God has not forgotten his promises that he made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's just this. And as we read through Jesus, we are reminded that this is the fulfillment of the scripture. That God wasn't fulfilling it the way that we thought, that the way that the Jews thought, because if you think about it, the Jewish people probably thought that the Messiah was going to come through some form of Norman Rockwell-esque family, right? A good middle-class Israeli family that had everything going the right way, that they were respected in the temple, that they would have perfect jobs, that their kids would do no wrong. And instead, where does God show up? God shows up to a lower class man and a woman, and in the midst of chaos, the woman gets pregnant through the Holy Spirit, and God, because God doesn't wait for everything to be perfect to act, God just acts. And God acts in the middle of it. God doesn't wait until we have it all proper. God doesn't wait for the expected outcomes to happen before God works. And God doesn't wait for Joseph to have everything in place before God works. I mean, this is not how the Messiah is supposed to enter into the world. The dreams of the people probably were a little bit greater than this. And this is the challenge of Christmas. When we really read the Christmas story, I think part of it is we've gotten so used to reading it. We've gotten so used to reading it that we've forgotten how subversive the story really is, that we've forgotten how this story broke into the world in such an unexpected way in the way that God works. Because if we really think about it, the Christmas story has been glamorized. It's kind of been glamorized by a consumeristic celebrity culture. It's got big lights and it's got big players and we all talk about it and there's big shows about it because it is an amazing event. But if we think about when it happened, it was a subversive moment with a young girl who got pregnant by the Holy Spirit and a man who was supposed to divorce her but ended up not and staying with her. That's the story of Christmas, is that God broke in, not in the way that everyone thought God would break in, but God broke in through the most unexpected way. When we read the story, when we encounter the people of Christmas, when we encounter Joseph, we're reminded of just how much Christmas surprises us, figuratively and literally. Christmas has a way of sneaking up on you. I mean, how many of you have all of your Christmas presents? Be honest. Who's going to be going out today or tomorrow or, I don't know, even Christmas Eve? Who in here is going Christmas Eve? You're going Christmas Eve because there's someone you forgot to get a present for. Christmas has a way of sneaking up on us. It's what it does. It has a way of, we're not ready for this to happen. And yet when Christmas starts to come, and as we start to do things, and as we slow down, it challenges us to remember that God works not in just the perfect moments, not in just the expected moments, but that God shows up in the unexpected moments as well. That God shows up in all parts of your life. God doesn't say, well, as soon as you get your life figured out, Joseph, then I'll work. No, God says, I know it's in the middle of the chaos, but I'm working in the middle of the chaos because I have a plan for you. And so Emmanuel, God with us, in which we know and we sing, becomes an unexpected term. With the most unexpected of persons, Joseph. And it's Joseph who models for us what this new world that God is creating looks like. That it will look like a radical trust to wake up from a dream and follow a voice. It takes a radical trust to believe that God is working and doing things. It takes a radical trust to know that a child born in a manger in a sleepy town in Bethlehem is going to redeem all the world. Joseph, this minor character on the margins of the short story, shows us what it looks like to walk the unexpected path, to follow the unexpected God, to follow God in whatever direction that God calls him to. And we know that because we see it in verse 24. And it's in verse 24 in which as God shows up and Joseph wakes up. It says Joseph wakes and Joseph does what the Lord calls Joseph to do. Joseph's response to the good news of God coming into the life of humanity challenges us today to think about this. How do we respond to the unexpected ways God enters into our life? How do we respond to the voices that come unexpectedly in our life? How do we respond to those moments we're not ready for when God shows up? Are we ready for it? Do we prepare ourselves for it? And as we wait for God coming, for Jesus to come, we are reminded the next few days that God has already come, that God has come as one of us, that God entered the world as a vulnerable little baby, and that God needed family and friends to take care of him. And so Joseph and Mary, who had no expectation of what this journey would look like, begins to take the journey. As the family tells them to go down that path, they end up going down this path. And what we read in the story is this, is it is going to take a subversive amount of trust, of obedience, of grace, and of mercy to follow God down this path for us as well. That if we really want to model what Joseph models for us, to be prepared for anything, to be waiting for the unexpected that comes from God, then we are going to have to be ready to go down paths that we're not ready for. And in the life of expectation, Christmas calls us to be prepared for these unexpected movements. Because here's the implication. The implications of God with us means this. It means that God is working all around us in us, through us, and in every moment. We just have to pay attention. The Joseph story reminds us of this. It reminds us that this God who entered the world as one of us now shows up all the time, all around us. And how do we know that? Because there's this little text in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, when he will sit on the throne, all the nations will be gathered before him. He'll separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and he'll put the goats on his left. And then I want you to notice these words. Then the king will say, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then notice what he says. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. If you really listen to it, Emmanuel, God with us, the most unexpected way, through the most unexpected of families, shows up, asks them to go down a certain path, and they do, and we get modeled for it, what it's going to look like from here on out to deal with a God who is present amongst us and around us and in us and working through us and working all around us. That you have a situation every day to encounter Emmanuel, whether you know it or not. Because in this passage it says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. Notice those words, I. Jesus is saying, even when I'm not around, after I've ascended, I am still present, working all around you. And you have the ability to be attentive in this moment to realize that God is working through the conversation that you're having with a coworker, that God is working through the time that you go help your neighbor, that God is saying, when you have the thought, boy, I should really do something about that. God's like, don't make it a thought, make it a reality and an action, because that's the unexpected movement of God in your life telling you, you need to go out of your comfort zone and do something, anything. And that's what they learn in Matthew 25 in this scene, is that it started in Matthew 1 when God says, I'm going to do it unexpectedly. I'm going to show up through a baby. And not only to show up through a baby, I'm going to show up through a baby and I'm going to make this family, this righteous family, this good family, I'm going to create, it's going to be a little bit of chaos and they're not going to expect it to work out this way. But this is the way that I work. And so whatever the journey is going to look like for you, whatever the journey you think God has planned for you, be prepared for God to show you something different. Be prepared today for the unexpected moment for God to happen. Chris and I had it yesterday in a conversation with a girl. Conversation with a girl, we don't know. We were just sitting there talking to one another, and this girl interrupts us because she hears our conversation, and then she just spills out her life story. She tells us everything. And you know that if you've ever gone out with Chris Clark, this tends to happen. People just talk. They're like, oh, look, it's Chris, blah, 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 blah. But come to find out, she was a Christian. She had a rough relationship. It took her away from God, and she's trying to figure things out. And Chris and I could just sit there and listen to her. But you have to be ready for the fact that God is amongst us and around us and with us and doing something. And why do we know that? Because we're celebrating a story this month that tells us that God does not work the way that we think God works. That God works in the most unexpected of ways. So be prepared for God to work. So my question for you today is how do you react to God entering into the world? Is it just another story? Is it just another cool story for you? Or is God entering into the world something that you're like, whoa, I've got to prepare myself to go down a path I might not know I was going to go down. I have to prepare myself for God's calling me to do something else. For God's calling me to risk shame and ridicule to help others. For God's calling me to risk shame and ridicule to do something different and outside of whatever boundaries and whatever lines that are created, that God may be calling me to do something. And so I'm going to tell you today, if you're thinking right now, you know what, maybe I should do that, do it. What do you have to lose? Because what you do have to gain is seeing God in the moment. So how do you respond to God being with us? We see it in Joseph. And Joseph shows us. It means maybe going to sleep thinking you've got the world figured out. and waking up realizing you don't have the world figured out, but you've got God on your side. And that's good news. That's good news of Jesus entering into the world. God is with us. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand, as we sing.